This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehi Swuhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight:
the worsening security situation and impossibility of bringing food supplies into Zumio by road has created a food and nutritional crisis in the region.
That's Lisa Schlein reporting from Geneva. Details coming up. Also, Senegal's president Macky Sall has won re-election with 58% of the vote. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story: a pair of arson attacks in less than a week on Ebola treatment centers in the eastern DRC have again dealt a blow to international efforts to bring the deadly disease under control. One attack last Sunday killed the relative of an Ebola patient in Katwa, which has become the latest hot spot for the disease. The incident began with an unknown group throwing stones at the treatment center in Katwa. The people then set the facility on fire, partially burning it down. Patients were moved to other facilities, and the aid group Doctors Without Borders, MSF, withdrew its staff from the area. Then yesterday, another MSF treatment center in Butembo was set on fire. It was unclear if there was any casualties because four patients fled. Hugh Roberts, MSF emergency desk manager, called it a deplorable act. The two incidents underscored the difficulties of working in a conflict zone and gaining the understanding and confidence of the local communities, many of which had never heard of Ebola. While efforts have been made to educate residents and gain their trust, it continues to be a major problem, with the Mercy Corps aid group calling for a renewed emphasis on the problem. Attacks have forced temporary shutdowns of aid agencies several times, which allow Ebola to spread again just when it is being brought under control. My colleague Paul Alexander spoke with MSF's Emmanuel Massart in the Katawa area.
We still have a lot of problems in the due to this lack of community engagement.
So this is a particular concern, isn't it? Because it's the new hotspot for Ebola, and it's fairly close to a border. And one of the big concerns has been the possibility of this outbreak jumping the border.
It is the biggest hotspot for the moment. So in Katwa alone, since the beginning, we have seen 241 cases. In which there was 184 deaths. We are trying to contain the epidemic. There are a lot of measures that have been taken at the border to avoid a spread of the epidemic in the neighboring countries.
So these attacks keep happening, and every time that they do, it sets you back, doesn't it?
We need to have a real change in the way the response is working if we want to be able to end this epidemic.
That was Paul Alexander speaking with MSF's Emmanuel Massart in the Katawa area. Senegal's president Macky Sall has won re-election. The official electoral commission released provisional results today that gave Sall 58% of the vote. The strong majority means that the 56-year-old Sall avoids a runoff election. Opposition candidate Idrissa Seck came in second with 21% of the vote. Ousmane Sonko was third with 16%. Sall has faced criticism for his efforts to consolidate power, but Senegal's strong economic growth, among the highest in Africa, has helped his popularity. Since the vote on Sunday, opposition candidates have rejected reports of a majority vote in favor of Saal. They have said their vote survey showed that a second vote was likely. Reuters reports that top challenger Idrissa Seck said today he will not appeal election results because of Saal's wide victory. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari has won re-election to the highest office in Africa's most populous nation. The Independent National Electoral Commission presented Buhari with the certificate of return after he won 56% of the vote. The move makes the results official. However, opposition candidates, including top challenger, former Vice President Atiku Abubakar, have denounced the election results, saying voting was unfair. There are conflicting reports on whether Atiku will contest the results. Some members of Atiku's People's Democratic Party have called for him to reject the official results. The dispute has increased tensions in an election that has already suffered deadly violence. Participants in the African aviation industry are in Kigali for a two-day summit on safety professionalism and other subjects. But Rwanda's President Paul Kagame warned the meeting that protectionism is keeping the continental market fragmented, inefficient, and expensive. Many African passengers claim it's more difficult to travel from one African country to another than to go to Dubai or Europe due to visa requirements and high taxation. Eugene Wimana has more from Kigali.
Among the topics to be discussed include barriers to aviation growth in the continent, regulation, safety, and profits. Opening the summit, Kagame focused on the needs of landlocked countries that usually lag behind economically due to barriers to cross-border trade.
16 countries in Africa are landlocked, including Rwanda. That is almost one-third of Africa. But every country is air-linked, so geography should not be seen as an excuse for underdevelopment. This highlights the importance of regional integration.
However, Paul Kagame warned that the protectionism spirit of some African countries weighs much on the world continent's aviation efforts.
Protectionism among ourselves is a short-sighted policy which only serves to keep our continental market fragmented, inefficient, and expensive, thereby reducing opportunities for African farms.
Industry experts say African aviation has potential for tremendous growth, but they also advise that African states would perform better if they join hands for potential partnerships to help aviation grow continent-wide. Frank Clapp is an expert on safety and human factors.
There is a lot of growth in the African continent. There's a high potential market here. You can't do it on your own anymore as a small country like Rwanda. So if you really want to face the challenges of African aviation and the growth, then you need to find ways to create partnerships on a large scale with other countries or even regions.
With the Single Skies Agreement now in place and the looming Africa Continental Free Trade Area deal, some Africans are optimistic that barriers of intra-Africa travels will be broken down. Eugene Uwimana for VOA News, Kigali, Rwanda.
Malawi officials say the country has the world's highest rate of cervical cancer, with only two oncologists serving the nation of 17 million people. In an effort to reduce cervical cancer deaths, the Malawi government has rolled out a massive vaccine campaign against the human papilloma virus that causes cervical cancer. The program targets girls between the ages of 9 and 14. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
The massive immunization project follows a pilot effort in two districts between 2013 and 2015. The campaign is run with funding from the Global Alliance on Vaccines and is expected to reach 1.5 million young girls across the country. The UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, is among organizations implementing the project. Steve Macheso is an immunization specialist for UNICEF in Malawi.
The disease starts when you engage in risky sexual behavior and you contract a virus we call human papilloma virus that causes cancer slowly over time. So we actually try to catch the girls early before their sexual debut so that even when they contract the human papilloma virus, the virus does not cause cancer when they grow up.
Other organizations supporting the effort are the World Health Organization and the Clinton Health Access Initiative. Health experts say cervical cancer causes the largest number of cancer deaths among women in Malawi. Dr. Leo Masamba is one of the only two oncologists in Malawi.
For the whole Malawi, you're talking about close to 3,600 new cases every year, and over 2,000 of these women now die from this cancer every year. This is the highest number of cases of cervical cancer cases in the world.
Masamba says the HPV vaccination is not something that Malawi can brag about at the moment because the results will be felt over 30 years.
In between, whilst we are waiting for those 10 to 30 years, there will still be quite a lot of, you know, cervical cancer cases coming from people that have already been infected with HPV now. We need to make sure that treatments are still available. Other interventions like palliative care are still available.
Loveness Kalanda says she is so happy having her 9-year-old daughter vaccinated. She says she wishes if it was possible, government should have considered vaccination for older women because this disease is not selective. So if there can be another way of protecting older women from the disease. Jonathan Chiwanda is the National Cancer Coordinator in the Ministry of Health. He told reporters in the capital, Lilongwe, that measures are already in place to tackle the disease.
All along I've been doing surgeries, I've been offering chemotherapy, I've been giving antiretroviral drugs, which also helps in terms of remission for the Kabosi sarcoma.
He said the government will soon open its first ever cancer center in Lilongwe, which will be offering radiotherapy and other treatment to cancer patients. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre.
You're listening to African News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz, on the Voice of America. I'm Yehiyus Wuhib in Washington. Eighteen past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. Senegal's President Macky Sall has won re-election with 58% of the vote. The Independent National Electoral Commission has presented Muhammadu Buhari with the certificate of return after he won 56% of the vote. The move makes the Nigerian president's result official. And attacks and forced temporary shutdowns of aid agencies has allowed Ebola in eastern DRC to spread again, just when it was being brought under control. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Weeks after protests in Zimbabwe, in January, a civic leader has been arrested and accused of plotting to overthrow the government. Two popular comics from Bus Stop TV, an online media house that produces viral news and comical skits, were also briefly taken into police custody. Reporter Kudzai Zanawashi has more.
Sylvia Mukwindidza is with Bus Stop TV. She narrates the details surrounding the detention of Samantha Kureya, a comic who also presents news reports.
They were questioning around the skit which we did around 2016, where they were wearing a costume that had the police uniform. So that was the issue. They were asked either to pay fine or to appear in court to challenge that accusation.
Kuda Hove is a legal officer with the Media Institute of Southern Africa, also known as MISA, one of the media organizations that provided legal aid to Bus Stop TV. He explains the actual charge.
The arrest was something based on the Police Act, Section 66 specifically, which makes it a crime or it prohibits the wearing of either an actual police uniform or anything or any clothing that closely resembles or might be mistaken for a police uniform.
Kureya, known as Konyeti, and Sharon Chideu, known as Maggie, were fined $20 each. However, they were later recalled to the police station in relation to a different skit. Hove says the arrest, even 3 years after the skit was released, suggests government's attitude towards content creators may foster self-censorship. Critics say this has not been a good week for democracy, following another arrest of Rashid Mahia, chairman of pro-democracy civic organization Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition. He is accused of plotting to overthrow the government. Rashid Mukundu is a political analyst and says the arrests are worrying and could foil government's international re-engagement efforts.
I think the arrest of Gonyeti, the arrest of Rashid Mahia, clearly indicates that the ZANU-PF government is escalating its attacks on fundamental freedoms, especially the right to freedom of expression. This clearly undermines the standing of Zimbabwe in the international community. To some extent, the Mnangagwa government is shooting itself in the foot.
Critics worry that the arrest will overshadow government efforts to attract investment into Zimbabwe. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zanawashi from Harare.
The World Food Program is airlifting 36 metric tons of life-saving food to 18,000 people in Zimio, Central African Republic. The WFP reports Zimio, a region 1,000 kilometers east of the capital Bangui, is unreachable by road because of insecurity and transport difficulties. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
This is the first time since a year that the UN World Food Programme has launched an airlift of this scale in the Central African Republic. The WFP says the worsening security situation and impossibility of bringing food supplies into Zimio by road has created a food and nutritional crisis in the region. The operation involves 8 airlift rotations. WFP has completed 6 of them. The remaining food supplies are being airlifted to families in Zimio on Wednesday. WFP spokesman Hervé Verhoosel says the arrival of food by air is coming at a crucial time for thousands of displaced people who are unable to move around freely because of increased violence. He tells VOA that WFP will reevaluate the situation in Zimio in the coming weeks to see whether airlifts should resume.
Because of the military and the security situation, most of the people are IDPs, are displaced in IDPs camp. They have no access to the market. They have no access either to the field to cultivate. As a result of that, the malnutrition, including for children, is important there, but also in the country.
The United Nations reports nearly half of CAR's population of 4.7 million is short of food. A recent national nutritional survey shows more than 7% of children aged 6 to 59 months are suffering from acute malnutrition. Ferhousel says the WFP will continue to scale up emergency aid for vulnerable people in the country. But he says the agency's operation is costly, especially when airlifts are factored in. He says far less than half of the agency's $145 million appeal for this year has been met, and that it is critical for this funding gap to be closed. The CAR has been in conflict since a coup in 2013. The current government in Bangui signed a peace agreement in 2017 with several of the warring militias in the country, but it has proved ineffective, and in recent months, violence has flared up again. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
A hidden bomb on the dead body of a man believed to have been kidnapped and killed by Muslim extremists in Mali exploded, killing as many as 17 people. The body was discovered abandoned in brush on Tuesday. A large number of people gathered for the funeral, according to one report, and the body exploded as it was being buried. Those killed included the dead man's parents, and several other people were injured. Officials said the body had been rigged with an explosive device. One security officer told French news agency that the method has been used by Muslim extremists to cause maximum deaths. Local newspaper reports say the body was of a 40-year-old man who was kidnapped by extremists last week. Violence over land and cattle in central Mali has gone on for years, but the activists of armed extremist groups have made the situation worse. On February 14th, extremists in Burkina Faso planted explosives on a corpse to kill two police officers and an army doctor. And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners of VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of African News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Werkinger, and our engineer, Shogun Chang, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
On the next edition of VOA's Encounter, it's the politics and substance of the recent Trump-Kim summit. Did this second meeting between the North Korean dictator and U.S. President Donald Trump yield more than just a photo op and vague promises about denuclearization? Two regional experts will join guest host Jeffrey Young for a review. That's Encounter, this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we are celebrating the accomplishments of women on the continent. This year's United Nations theme is Think Equal, Build Smart, Innovate for Change, an in-depth discussion on the path to gender equality on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Music time in Africa. Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Friday at 0900 and Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 15, 20, and 2200 hours UTC.